Okay, good morning. So, welcome to Wednesday Talks. We go to subject that was discussed already, I mentioned already on Monday and on Tuesday, which is metallic quantum criticality. And there will be two theory talks, one done by Sung Sik Lee and Yoni Shatter, another one by Yoni Shatter. And there will be one experimental talk by Anne Hines on barium 1-2 materials. So, basically, two theory talk will address the same issue, going slightly away for a second from cuprates or even pnictites. Let's consider the simplest theoretical model one can imagine about quantum criticality. We take a metal, and two-dimensional metal, on the verge of anti-ferromagnetic instability. Let's assume for simplicity that it's commensurate pi-pi instability. And we ask this question. Let's take a metal with cuprate-like Fermi surface. We need to assume some Fermi surface. This is spin density wave phase. System changes parameter, doping pressure, something, and approaches critical point. The question, what happens before the system reaches critical point, and what happens at the critical point if the system managed to reach it without interruption? And standard models that people introduce in this regard is the model of fermions interacting with soft fluctuations of bosonic field that softens at the critical point, in this case, spin fluctuations. So it goes under the name of spin fermion model, and both theory talks will be on spin fermion model. There is a canonical description of spin fermion model, and we use one transparency to tell you about it. It's based on Eliasberg treatment. It's essentially one loop self-consistent theory, which tells you two things. It tells you that bosonic dynamics is the dynamics of Landau overdamped excitations at finite Q, which always have Landau damping form as just simply linear in omega term. And it has dynamical exponent, bosonic dynamical exponent z equal to 2. If you look at fermions, then your first question is where you look at. And if you look at the special red points, which are called hotspots, the ones that are connected by pi-pi being on a Fermi surface, then going back to agent time from 1993, I guess, for it's known that self-energy scales as square root of omega, which is essentially non-Fermi liquid behavior. Because both real and imaginary part of self-energy scales as square root of omega by Cramer's chronic, and this larger than bare omega term in the propagator. But it's a property of a single point. If you move away from hotspot and ask what happens even at the critical theory, you find out that Fermi liquid survives, but with funny quasi-particle residue. It's Fermi liquid means that self-energy is linear in omega, but denominator goes as distance along the Fermi surface from a critical point, and therefore z factor of fermions, if you like, becomes strongly position dependent in this respect. And this is the subject of the first talk. This is self, what I told you, is self-consistent one-loop theory. You ask about corrections, and then you immediately see logarithms everywhere. There are logarithms in vertex correction, there are logarithms in correction to Fermi velocity, there are logarithms in correction to bosonic propagator.
This is in 2D?
2D, everything is in 2D. And of course, it means that theory is under threat from high energy, higher loop corrections that destroy this nice one loop story. And if you go to just one loop order and exponentiate this logarithmical corrections, then you get anomalous dimension for bosonic propagators, you get anomalous dimension for fermionic propagators, but this is not a big deal, generally speaking. You just change exponent a little bit. However, and this is what Max Mitlitsky and Subir Sajdev noticed first, if you go beyond what one-loop order, situation becomes more involved, and you start seeing flow of dynamical exponent. So theory flows to something else. Of course, this happens at very low frequencies, and Sung Sik will discuss in his talk at what below what frequencies this becomes relevant. But still, if you ask a theoretical question, what is the correct theory at the lowest frequencies, this has to be taken into account. Number of people tried various perturbation schemes, large N expansion, expansion near three dimensions, etc. But basically, anticipating what we'll hear in one slide, there will be a major repair to a theory at the lowest frequencies. And this will be the subject of the first talk. Then you can ask a different question. Okay, let's not look at the lowest frequencies. Let's assume that we are slightly at finite temperature, at finite energies, whether there is a window of frequencies where this nice Eliasberg theory works. It's by itself a question because even non-logarithmical corrections are not small parametrically. For electron-phonon interaction, we know that there is a nice parameter ratio of ionic mass and electronic mass that justifies Eliasberg-like description. Here we have just one velocity, Fermi velocity. Everything is made out of fermions. So there is no small parameter unless one artificially introduces large N or something like this. And this is what Yoni will be talking about with his quantum Monte Carlo. Because one thing is non-Fermi liquid aspects of the story. This is interesting to check. Another thing is what happens before the system becomes magnetically ordered. And the obvious suspect here is superconductivity. There are others like charge density wave, time reversal symmetry breaking, nematicity, etc. But the main suspect is, of course, superconductivity. And, of course, it's known, first of all, that pi-pi fluctuations give you attraction in D-wave channels. We don't need to go to very recent time to look into this. But the question that a number of us try to address is, what is the interplay between superconductivity and non-Fermi liquid? How these two objects interfere with each other? And the story that comes out of Eliasberg treatment is, yes, there is superconductivity, but there is some space for non-Fermi liquid above superconducting transition temperature. It's all game of numbers, actually. But you can easily foresee two opposite limits. One when non-Fermi liquid completely destroys superconductivity, and another when superconductivity completely destroys non-Fermi liquid. And again, without having any small parameters, we cannot say with certainty what happens. This needs to be verified, and Yoni's talk will be this partly attempt to verify this using quantum Monte Carlo study. Which brings me to the third talk. And before saying a few words about details of the third talk, it's generally talk about experimental manifestations of anti-ferromagnetic criticality, in general, magnetic criticality. One thing is you look at thermodynamics. And the very fact that you don't need to go to hotspots, the very fact that you have Fermi liquid quasi-particles whose residue goes like this immediately tells you that specific heat goes as T log T. So in this respect, T log T in a specific heat is a signature of this antiferromagnetic criticality. But if you go to transport properties, situation becomes more involved. On one hand, this effort, that wonderful effort that Sean Hartnell, Subir, Max Mitlitsky, and their collaborators started about composite scattering, tells you that optical conductivity, sigma of omega, is singular at the critical point. And at least in some window frequencies, we can discuss down to what frequency, it goes as 1 over omega, which immediately tells you, well, 1 over omega in conductivity may be related to linear and T resistivity. But it's not the case. And with resistivity, two results are known. One, it's an old result. If you take a dirty system with huge residual resistivity, then if you look what happens at finite temperature, at the critical point, you get perfect linear behavior. There's an old story that Achim Roche put first. The caveat is, unfortunately, that it only works when this temperature-dependent term is a correction to residual resistivity. We can again discuss a way to go out of this, but at the zero order, this is what happens. If you look at a clean system and look at the lowest temperature possible, then I guess, as far as my understanding is, there is a T-square resistivity and there is no way out of this. And the reason is that you average conductivity before over Fermi surface before inverting, and as a result, the dominant contribution comes from cold fermions, the ones that are away from the most dangerous points. It's still not purely negative answer. Because if you take arbitrary point on the Fermi surface and ask what is the self-energy, you get this form. What's the difference between hotspot and not hotspot? Crossover scale between omega square behavior and this eventually omega one half behavior. But it turns out by purely numerical reasons that in between there is a wide range where self-energy, imaginary part self-energy, looks like omega. And taking note from Greg's talk, I'll take this line and It doesn't look that bad. But I call it E is equal to M squared, E is equal to B squared, etc. Because it's not a theory. This is just a statement about that intermediate behavior looks like linear. So this brings me to the last transparency and the description of the last talk. So the talk is about non-Fermi liquid phenomenology of barium-1-2 materials. It's not cuprate, so Fermi's surface is different. As we all know, Fermi's surface consists of small hole and electron pockets. Nevertheless, I think it fits into magnetic quantum criticality story, because if you look at the phase diagram and ask what's the big animal besides superconductivity on the phase diagram, is the striped zero pi magnetism. An interesting physics that Ian will be talking about happens in the range where magnetism is almost gone and you kill superconductivity by external field. So one part of the story is that you already heard in Greg's talk and is that there is linear in H magnetic resistance and temperature and magnetic field dependence go in quadrature, so square root of T squared plus H squared. But he will also talk about Hall coefficient and how singular behavior on Hall coefficient. Which means that my time is out, and enjoy the talks. To the opposite limit. Experimental talk will be first, and then it will be two theory talks. Yeah, go ahead.